All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant from the Philadelphia suburbs. It's raining. We got the NFL draft going on since Thursday. I got to be honest, I've not gotten into the draft at all. I had a couple buddies text me saying, oh, I love what the Giants are doing here in this spot. And I just got to say, you probably didn't watch a darn snap of college football. You're just basing it off of what some, you know, overhyped analyst who really doesn't know anything. They're not factoring in fit. They're just watching some tape on these guys anyway. And it really doesn't matter. And I responded in these little text threads to people saying, look, when it's September and the Giants are battling it out throughout the season, trying to get back to the playoffs for the second straight year, and one of these guys makes a big play, a strip sack, an interception for the pick six, or, you know, a catch or a big run, I'll let you know what I think about it, because it's really irresponsible to get all, you know, caught up in this. And I didn't even watch 1 second of the draft. I know the draft will be done tonight, but I have not watched one singular second of it. I check my phone, see if there's any people I know. Most of the guys I don't know outside of the quarterbacks anyway. College football is a sport that I've totally lost interest in over the years, just because, you know, you got Bama, you got Georgia. Yeah, you might have Clemson, Ohio State in the mix too. But outside of that, it's really tough for some of these teams to make the playoffs. Even Notre Dame, a big-time national following team, they make it, they flame out. So it's hard for me to get into, you know, these games. I know Michigan and Harbaugh have been there a couple times too, but real hard for me to get into these games in the college football. So by default, it's hard for me to get into the draft. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I love the draft, but the draft might just be one of those things that as you get older, it's tough to get into if you're not into the college football as much. And I think that that's okay. I don't think that you need to be there watching it all the time. I'm probably in the minority of this. I think it was actually a bad thing when they moved the first round to Saturday, or sorry, from Saturday to just Thursday. I like the old school style where maybe you're a kid and you're home and it's your spring break and it's on and it's a rainy Saturday afternoon in April and you're watching the draft, you know, it was the first, second, and I think third round all day long. And it hasn't been that way since like 2009 or something. I remember back in 2008, my freshman year at the U of A, after the Giants won the Super Bowl, I was definitely into it all day then as well. But it's just, it's not the same. I'm not as into the college football, but that's okay, because hopefully the Giants did well. Hopefully they found some good players, and I'll judge that come the fall, and that's okay. But honestly, the bigger story are the two winter teams right now for me. And we're going to start with the hockey. And this is the second straight podcast where we're going to focus, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes on the hockey for sure. You know me, I'm a New Jersey Devil fan. It doesn't make sense how a kid born in Manhattan, grew up on Long Island, could be wearing Devil red and black and sometimes the Devil green and red. But that's me. All right. And we all know what Akita Schmidt has been able to do. Lindy Ruff put him in the net, and it's just made an immense difference. And the Devils are up 3-2, and they're playing tonight at the Garden, about 3.5 hours there in Manhattan. But for the Devils versus the Rangers, this is not over yet. And I'm not touching the money yet, but after coming back from 2-0 down to now have a 3-2 lead, it's going to be devastating for me as a New Jersey Devil fan if we lose it to the Rangers in any fashion, whether both games are close, whether they blow us out tonight here on the Rangers home ice at the Garden, whether, you know, the Devils win tonight but then get blown out in game 7. It doesn't matter, because right now this Devils team, after 5 games, specifically the last 3, because we're going to throw the first 2 out, this team is clicking on all cylinders. On the game Thursday night, they scored less than a minute into the game on a great rebound off of a faceoff by Palat. They score on a power play by Halla, his second power play goal of the series. They even score shorthanded with Dawson Mercer. Dawson Mercer is a 22-year-old kid. He had like a streak with like 9 games or so streak where he scored a goal in the middle of the year. So this team's clicking absolutely. And it was, you know, on that shorthanded goal by Dawson Mercer, they raced down the ice off of a center ice faceoff, and Mercer found the back of the net. And that play specifically just showed with this Devils team that speed is going to be an absolute killer. All right. And I'd say that that was a unique situation where they get even strength goal, a power play goal, and a shorthanded goal. But this actually happened for a player on the Dallas Stars himself in game 2 of their series there by a guy the name of Rupe Hintz. I've never heard of this guy on the Stars. Again, I'm not the biggest regular season hockey guy, but once it comes to the postseason, You know me, if you've known me for a while, I'm super into my New Jersey Devils and I'm super into the postseason hockey. And maybe I'll watch, you know, a couple other games in different series here or there. So I've definitely never heard of this guy. One difference, though, that I think has been absolutely huge since game three is that the two biggest goals that the Devils have scored this series have been by blue liners. If you don't know what a blue liner is, it's a defenseman. Dougie Hamilton, we know about that OT goal in game three to kind of get the ball rolling in the right direction here for the Devils. And then Jonas Siegenthaler in game four to break a 1-1 tie in the third period. So despite the guys on the attacking side of the ice that the Devils have, when you look at a guy like Nico Hischier, the captain of the team, and you look at the guy they brought in from the San Jose Sharks midseason, Timo Meier, these two guys are guys you'd expect to find the back of the net, get assists. And those guys have only tallied 3 points, and all of which have been Nico Hischier assists. So Timo Meier, their big midseason acquisition, has done very little to nothing when you factor, you know, absolutely nothing if you factor in terms of goals and assists. He's done absolutely nothing. But he's been an enforcer. He's been an irritant. He's been going at it with the Rangers goalie, Shesterkin. And I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, getting at the goalie because it's one way to get yourself leveled by the other team. It's one way also to draw, you know, yourself into the box. And he leads in penalty minutes this series for the Devils too. So it just goes to show you, again, despite the speed that this Devils team has with their, you know, attackers, the blue liners have made the two biggest goals of the series with Dougie Hamilton and, of course, Jonas Siegenthaler. And on top of that, all right, we can't highlight this enough if the Devils are able to, you know, come through. The decision to go to Akira Schmidt in game three has been the most impactful move of the series, no doubt, no question about it. I know I'm stating the obvious here, all right, but we got two goals allowed in the three games. He saved 82 of the 84 shots he's faced. We know if you watch any type of postseason hockey, we know goaltending can be elevated by having a strong mental game. And this kid has got confidence and he's got the arrogance because he's 22 years old to play his game without getting worried. He's not doing anything fancy here on the ice. You're not seeing him make any type of Martin Brodeur Spider-Man saves where he's laying flat down on his stomach and lifts up the backside of his, you know, leg, not where the pads are, and hits off his skate. You know, we're not seeing any acrobatic type saves. We're just seeing a guy, and again, I'm not the biggest, you know, hockey technicality guy here, but we're just seeing a guy make good, solid saves. He's got good hands with his glove. He can play the puck a little bit with his stick when needed to. I saw him, you know, pass it up to get a rush started. So he's playing good, solid hockey in the net, and the saves stack definitely back that up. And just watching him, he seems confident. You can read his body language. Even on the TV, you can definitely read his body language. So, I mean, big props to Lindy Ruff for putting him in there. Three games is not over. I can't stress this enough. This Ranger team can come back and they can pick us off the next two games and we're going to be out, Devils and Devil fans like myself. We're going to be out if the Rangers can come back, obviously. And it's not off the table, all right? But from the Ranger side, if you want to look strictly from a numbers perspective, Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin have a combined 4 assists with 0 goals. And I said this after the series was tied at 2 games apiece. Hockey is really, really hard. If your only opportunity to find the back of the net is having Chris Kreider in front of the net deflect goals in on the power play. And I know for the Devils, Holla made a huge goal on Thursday night. He had a huge power play goal and doing the same thing. But it hasn't been the Devils' only option this series to have impactful goals. We mentioned what the blue liners have done. You know, you mentioned what Hughes did to open up game four right away with his speed going all the way pretty much from center ice on a breakaway and finding the back of the net. So hockey is hard. This Rangers team relies on this power play so much, and Lindy Ruff made adjustments. We always talk in basketball and football, halftime adjustments. This has been mid-series adjustments between putting the new goalie in there and then neutralizing the Ranger power play so that Chris Kreider and his 5 goals, 4 of which coming on the power play, is not killing the Devils. So, huge adjustment by Ruff there. And I'm going to continue to tell people, again, and I've said this 4, 5, 6 times already on this podcast, this series is not over, okay? And I want to win this thing at MSG tonight. I don't care about clinching it in front of the home crowd because it's half the building is Ranger fans anyway. But this Ranger team has big-time experience in the postseason. They played 2 Game 7s last year. They won both of them, won, obviously, in each of the first two rounds. They overcame a 3-1 series deficit in that opening round, I think, against Pittsburgh. So there's no reason to believe that they can't come back from a 3-2 series deficit, especially when you get tonight the game six at home. And if you win that 3-3, game seven is anyone's guess. And we all know if you've watched any playoff hockey before, anything can happen in that game seven. And I want nothing to do with going to a game seven. Nothing to do. I want this series clinched tonight at Madison Square Garden. And again, if you know me, you know how much I hate the Rangers. Cannot stand that Ranger fan base. I know a lot of them root for the same teams as me, with the Giants, the Knicks, and the Yankees. But when it comes to hockey, you take me out of that bunch with the old loyal, blue blood, teams in New York City, because I root for the Devils crossing over the Hudson River. So nothing would make me happier to see the Ranger fans pack the building, drop $500, $600, $700, $800, $900 on one ticket, not a pair of tickets, one ticket, and see them leave the Garden, go to Penn Station, get in that Moynihan train hall to go back to Jersey, because half of the fans are from Jersey anyway. The other one's going back to Long Island, my old neck of the woods, and be disappointed with the Ranger loss. And, some of those people going back up to Connecticut or Westchester. You get the idea, though. Nothing would make me happier to see that fan base disappointed and have my guys, the red and black New Jersey Devils, moving on to the second round. But it's going to be tough. Now, a scenario for me, as far as the game watching, I'm going to be actually up in North Jersey, leaving Philly probably within the next half hour. So I thought I had to hop on, record this little podcast here. I'm going to be near Giant Stadium, MetLife Stadium, whatever you want to call it, rocking out at a friend's wife's birthday party. It's going to be great. We're going to eat pizza. We're going to hang out, all that. And the party starts at 7, so, I got to get going up to North Jersey pretty soon here because it's 4:40 right now. But I got a tricky scenario here. I don't know the lay of the land with the restaurant. I don't know how long we want to stay out. We know, of course, if you live anywhere on the Northeast Corridor, kind of between Boston and Washington, D.C., and New York and Philly fall right into that, that we got a lot of rain going on. So do we want to drive back on that Jersey Turnpike, towards midnight with rain? That's a tricky spot. We're going to have to monitor the weather. I don't know the lay of the land with the restaurant. Is the game going to be on, or are we going to possibly have to put it on the phone, leave it at the table? So tricky spot there. All right. Next segment, we'll talk about the beloved New York Knicks. All right. We're back here with a Schloss Rant live, of course, from the Philadelphia suburbs. We're sitting here about 4:45. We got about 3 hours and 15 minutes to the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers take the ice for a huge game six. And I ended the last segment talking about, my logistics tonight. And I know this is relatable to people because you go to places, and I know we'll get to the Knicks here in a little bit, but a new segment here. You go to places, you're into your sports teams, you got the, at your house, you got the games on. You might have more than one TV because maybe you're into your baseball team right now, with your hockey team, with your NBA team, whatever the case might be. But being in a new location, new place, a new restaurant I've never been to, it's a tricky spot. I'm a little worried. I mean, can I be there at a birthday party with my cell phone streaming the Devil Ranger game? I don't know. Tricky spot for sure. I'm hoping that, of course, the game will be on at a TV in the building there, so I'm not, making a total fool of myself, because quite frankly, the people that I'm going to be with, they're some of my old high school buddies, but I'm not sure if they're into the hockey as much as I'm going to be into it, to the point where I need to have it on in a social situation. So let's get to the Knicks now. Let's just start off by saying we got to give Jimmy Butler all the credit in the world, because he is just an absolute baller. This is a guy who is a shot maker. Not normally one during the regular season with the three-pointers, but he's been on a little bit of, for him, at least a little bit of a three-point barrage. And he's doing what most people would wish their favorite team's player or their favorite team's best player would do, which is carry them to a series win, even if they're going against a better team. And I know Giannis was out for a couple of games there, but playoff Jimmy is about as good as anyone in the National Basketball Association. Again, this is a guy who can't shoot threes normally, but come to the playoff time, he knows his team needs them, and he turns basically into Reggie Miller, where he had a game there where he made all four of his three-point attempts. Now, this Knicks-Heat rivalry, it's back. And we're going to take 2012 out of the mix, because we're going to do a little breakdown here, and then I'll talk about who I think is going to win. But take 2012 out of the mix, because the Heat had LeBron, they had Wade, they had Bosch, and they disposed of the Knicks in a gentleman's sweep there. So we're going to take that out. But I had to go back to review the 97 to 2000 matchups because they met every single year in the postseason. And I kind of confused 97 and 98 because in my mind, the Van Gundy hanging on to Alonzo Mourning for dear life was also the series that the Knicks lost. They actually did not lose that. And that was the one I was thinking where all the people got suspended for leaving the bench. That was not the case. That was actually 97. At the end of the game, Charlie Ward for the Knicks and P.J. Brown for the Heat. With the Knicks leaving the bench, you had L.J. Larry Johnson getting suspended, Patrick Ewing getting suspended, Charlie Ward, Allen Houston, and John Starks being suspended. And because of all those people being suspended, they staggered them between Game 6, Game 7. Who got suspended, which game doesn't really matter so much, but they didn't suspend all five of them at once, and the Heat came back and won that series after the Knicks had a 3-1 lead. Now, 98, the Knicks won. Mourning and Larry Johnson fight. That's the one that everyone remembers with Van Gundy. So I was confused about that because I was, you know, still a little guy. I'm born in 1989. We're talking about when I'm 7 or 8 years old, so you have to forgive me. Now, 99, the Knicks won in five games. That was actually a round one series, an old school round one where it was best of five, which I wish they'd go back to that for the first round, but they're not going to do that because they're not going to give up the money. And the Knicks were an eighth seed then in the lockout shortened season of the 50 games. And Houston hit a game-winning, kind of like leaner runner in the lane as time was about to expire in Game 5. So I remember that, and if you could probably picture it right now. If you can't, you find it on YouTube, where he's running down the court, and he's just kind of pumping his fist, kind of like, you know, rubbing it in the Heat fan base's face there. So I say all this because if the Knicks don't leave the bench in 1997, they probably win that, you know. And if you take out the LeBron year, this team does pretty well against Miami historically. Now, this is a whole totally different matchup. The Heat are an 8 seed. The Knicks are a 5 seed. Both teams, overall, when you look at where they're going into the playoffs, you kind of are happy to be here. But I think as the postseason continues to go on, and as you see, you've seen that the Heat defeated the Bucks. You even see on the West side, the Lakers knocked off the number 2 seed Memphis. The NBA has the most parity I've ever seen it in the 33 years that I've been alive. There's no, like, consensus team that's going to win it. So I say all this because the longer and longer you stay alive in the playoffs, it is trickier to lose and be disappointed if you lose. So now let's give it a little breakdown with the Knicks here. You know Jimmy Butler's the best player in the series. You know what you see from Bam Adebayo at the center. He's a little bit better than Mitchell Robinson overall. So I give them the edge there at Jimmy Butler's position, which I guess he's the small forward. I give them the edge at the center. But, you know, you have to like what you see from Jalen Brunson. He's going to be the key to the entire series for this Knick team. We know what he's capable of doing, and we see that R.J. Barrett, if he's going to take smart shots and hit them, he adds a great deal as well offensively. So with that in mind, I picked against the Knicks. I picked the Cavs in 6. That one was clearly wrong, and I was happy about that. But I think the Knicks are going to win this one in 7. I think it's going to go the distance. I think with Brunson, I think he has enough shot making. He relies a little bit on that mid-range game in this postseason, but he's so good with his footwork. He's an absolute bulldog. He pushes into people. I've never seen a guy who's at 6'1", that's pretty undersized for the NBA, that just absolutely can, you know, use his physicality, use the angles, use body spacing, take advantage of the fact that he's a lefty to absolutely dominate at times in the game. So I like that. I like that Barrett's got his confidence because this was a guy we were saying, put him on the bench, don't let him sniff the floor again after that Game 2 against the Cavs. So I think those factors combined with Josh Hart and his ability to rebound the ball, play a lot bigger than he actually is at 6'5", knock down pretty big jump shots, play good defense. I think the Knicks have enough bodies that they can throw at Jimmy Butler to get over his, you know, absolute historical back-to-back performances. So I think all that in mind, you throw R.J. Barrett, you throw Josh Hart at him, you just keep putting guys that can guard him, make sure that Brunson is nowhere near guarding him. He's got to save his strength on the offensive side. Even, you know, if Butler wants to, you know, go down low and Randall comes back, even he can play with him a little bit down there in the post to kind of you know, defend him well enough. And I think the center spot, Bam Adebayo is definitely their second best player. I think Robinson, even though his offensive game is nowhere near as good as Bam is, because we even saw Bam kind of run the offense at times in the last series, passing the ball, making cuts, even Jimmy Butler cutting down low. I think that Robinson can, you know, neutralize him, even if you have to pull him away from the basket if you're Bam Adebayo, because I think Robinson is good enough to play defense, even not necessarily on the perimeter, but I don't think Adebayo is going to be a guy who's looking to shoot the three-point ball anyway. So I think he's good enough to lock him up. So I think the Knicks have just enough to squeeze by in seven. And I'm going to take off my neutrality cap right now. We're going to say this. Knicks in seven. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Now, all my Knicks fan people out there, you guys have been awesome. I've seen the videos on Twitter. You guys have been rocking it. You guys have been doing an amazing job celebrating in the streets. I think that we're going to keep celebrating. I think that this team is going to the Eastern Conference Finals. One more time for you. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. This is like the 90s all over again. The Devils and the Rangers battling and the Knicks and the Heat battling again. All right, Sauce Rant live from the Philly suburbs. Let's go Devils tonight. I hope I jump back on here next time with the New Jersey Devils in the second round of the playoffs. Knicks, big opening tomorrow. Knicks in seven. Mark it down. Let's go. Sauce Rant live. We'll see you later.